He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, would you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tarzan.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
We've made it to a Friday Drive. WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad. Where even though today was Will Levis's pro day at Kentucky, and once again, there are the videos of him and Frank Reich chopping it up as if they're college buddies, we're not even welcoming a scenario that Levis is the pick. Same for Anthony Richardson at Florida. Carolina did not give up all that stuff, including DJ Moore, in order to get the number one pick, just to draft a guy who might have fallen to them at their original spot at number nine. So really, it's either going to be CJ Stroud or Bryce Young. But frankly, you're not drafting either of those guys based on anything that they did or didn't do this week. This week wasn't about that. What this week was really about was David Tepper. And the last 5 days have been the David Tepper show. This month and a half period, from the moment Carolina made the trade for the number one pick until draft night, the last week of April, where we hear that glorious sound, WD. You know what that sound is? I don't think any network specifically owns that sound, but it's one of the best underrated sounds in sports. You hear it on ESPN. You hear it on the NFL Network. I've never been to the draft, but I can imagine it's something that you hear when the draft picks are made, or else it's a pretty underwhelming experience to watch it in person. I'm, of course, yes, talking about those chimes. Until you hear that on draft night, the Carolina Panthers are relevant. This month and a half was part of the appeal for trading up to the number one pick. Carolina is now the center of the NFL discussion. Who are they going to take? Who do they like more? I hear they like this guy. Oh, this is what Frank Reich's all about. David Tepper loves this stuff. He loves to be in the spotlight. And it's the first time in 5 years of being the owner that his team is truly relevant. And this week, the Panthers have treated this entire week like it is a show. Like it is a spectacle. Pro Day shouldn't really be a spectacle. It certainly shouldn't be about the teams that are showing up to watch the players. But this week, it was that for the Panthers. The only thing missing was a tour bus. That's the only thing. It would have been the only thing that could have made this week more of a show for the Panthers as if it was a reality TV show where it was filmed on a Madden cruiser. Cruising across the country. Here we are with Columbus. Now we're here in Tuscaloosa. We're coming to your city. Monday, you had the Frank Reich, Scott Fitterer press conference where they told us next to nothing. Tuesday, they're in Columbus having dinner with C.J. Stroud. Darren Gant told us that he got the sea bass and washed it down with a strawberry lemonade. Important information there, all about the content. Wednesday, Stroud had the pro day, and then they flew down to Tuscaloosa to have dinner with Bryce Young, who apparently had scallops. Yesterday, Young had the throw day. At night, they met with Will Levis, and today, Will Levis had his pro day. And they rolled a dozen deep at every single one of these pro days. And it wasn't just David Tepper. It was David Tepper's wife with him, Nicole Tepper. Nobody has ever seen anything like this. Todd McShay says, he said the only time he's ever seen an owner at a pro day was Dan Schneider when they took Robert Griffin III over a decade ago. That was 11 years ago. McShay's been on the draft for decades now. And that's the only time he can remember seeing that. And he didn't say that Dan Schneider brought his wife. And certainly they didn't go to four or five of these pro days. But they're going to do the same thing for Anthony Richardson. And who knows? Maybe they'll stop in to see, I don't know, what's going on at Georgia's pro day because they want a little bit more attention. But this is the part that concerns me about all this. the content age and being at every pro day, that's one thing, and that's fine. It's good for radio shows such as this one. So we're not complaining about that. What concerns me is that Tepper owns the team, which means if David Tepper wants one specific player, he will get what he wants, even if the football people disagree with him. Remember, David Tepper once told Ron Rivera in his last year to change the defensive formation that they played. They were either a 3-4 or 4-3, and they switched based on something that Tepper told Rivera based on several reports. Same dude on a whim that gave Matt Rhule a 7-year contract because God forbid he got on a plane to the New York Giants. Same dude. You don't think he's going to get the quarterback that he wants? Even if there's a disagreement with Frank Reich and Scott Fitterer? I don't know. Thomas Dimitroff was on Rich Eisen, which you could listen to daily on WSJS. He's the former Falcons GM, and he spoke to, as somebody who knows the dynamic of having a top pick and, you know, having to please the owner and take what ownership wants too into account, that's something that he brought up with Rich.
I'm feeling it's Stroud, but in the back of my mind, it keeps knocking on my door that this is a winner, and they've been looking for winners. And remember this, David Tepper doesn't mind. He's brought in all types of quarterbacks over the last, 5 years?
Right.
So I don't think he's completely personally dissuaded by the size himself.
Frank Reich might not want to take the risk. David Tepper's the guy who has brass testicles on his desk as a hedge fund manager that made his billions, plural, taking risk, like drafting a Bryce Young. So that's the one piece of this that concerns me. This week has been the David Tepper Show. Let's hope draft night, when we hear the chimes, when we hear this glorious sound, that it's actually the football people that are in charge of the decision. Will Dalton is the executive producer of this show and a Panthers fan who has something to say about this.
Don't we think potentially David Tepper's kind of learned by now he should listen to the football people after some of those trials and tribulations you just spoke about?
To quote a movie that you watched last week for the first time, maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah. I hope so.
Maybe, yeah. From The Departed.
Because Fitterer seems like he knows what he's doing.
Love Wahlberg's character. Don't know any Shakespeare. I think they know what they're doing, but it's David Tepper's football team. David Tepper wants one guy. Just like we have conviction on who they should take, you don't think he's a human being and wants to take somebody too? He's actually going to dinner with these guys. So if there's disagreement, if it comes down to it, David Tepper owns the team. He can get the guy that he wants. Shifting things though, earlier today, Hubert Davis received the best news that he's gotten since North Carolina's season ended abruptly in Greensboro. And that is RJ Davis is officially returning for a senior season in Chapel Hill. And even though RJ isn't as popular among Carolina fans as Armando Bacot
Armando
is, we might be partly responsible for that, by the way. RJ is the one irreplaceable player on this roster. He's the one guy. They didn't just want back. They needed him back. There was no path to optimism. There is no path to optimism for next year for Carolina basketball without RJ being back in the fold. Having Armando back?
Armando!
That's nice, but it's not absolutely essential the way that having RJ is. They like Jalen Washington a lot in the post. He actually can shoot it. And that's something that Huber wants from every player on the floor. Bacot doesn't really shoot it much. But having him back, it wasn't certainly his fault, the reason why things went bad last year or when Carolina's been inconsistent. That's the type of player you want to have in your program. I'm certainly happy that he is returning to Chapel Hill. But RJ, he has the potential to be an All-American combo guard. Perhaps he might be taking a play out of the playbook of a Marquise Noel, who we watched last night at K-State. What do they have in common? 6 feet and smaller, guard from New York, does a little bit of everything. Yeah, overlooked a bit. RJ can do that. I don't know if New York City has any regionals next year or any Elite Eights. Super Sweet 16s, anything like that. But if they do, let's hope that RJ gets a chance to play in Madison Square Garden. But they have absolutely nobody in this backcourt. Nobody that is remotely as good or as consistent as RJ has been for the North Carolina Tar Heels. In almost every category. Defensively with the steals, the way he can rebound. His three-point shooting percentage, 36% from three, which might not sound great, but when you look at what Caleb Love has done the last few years, it's pretty good. Which, speaking of Caleb Love, now Hubert needs to have the uncomfortable conversation with Caleb. Is he capable of having that? Is he capable of telling Caleb to walk? Because in order for RJ to reach his ceiling, and in turn, North Carolina to reach its ceiling as a team, RJ, he needs a true point guard to be alongside him in the backcourt. He'd be so good if he was working off ball and able to focus on three-point shooting rather than trying to run the point and constantly being worried whether he'll get the ball back from Caleb Love, who has just been a black hole since he arrived on campus in the way of sometimes the ball just go his way and it ain't coming back. It's a black hole. The shot's going up. It might not be a pretty shot. That's the Caleb Love experience. But today's a great day. Carolina fans say that all the time. It's a great day to be a Tar Heel. It legitimately is that today when you get the news of RJ returning. It's fantastic news for the Tar Heels.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
B-Dot will be in studio with us in about 15 minutes. This week, we got a new puppy. Her name's Willow. And the first week I was told, make sure you're around the dog all the time. Make sure it's not by itself. It has separation anxiety. You usually see that in smaller dogs. So Willow is in the office today. And I just got a text, a video of Willow discovering a mirror in our office and wanting to fight the dog in the mirror.
Don't you love it when that happens?
It's outstanding. I love that dog so much. Now let's recap the week in the most efficient way possible by keeping it simple.
Five words or less.
It's simple, man.
That's all Josh gets to tell you where your favorite teams are at.
It's as marvelous and as simple as that.
Let's keep it simple.
That's right. Five words or less. And then a few more words after that, generally. Trying to cut down on the amount of gas bagging I do. The amount of... what's a better word for it? I'm just long-winded. This segment tries to prevent that, even though I'm kind of doing that right now. Let's get a dance break in here.
Armand.
Boston Dolly. WD needs more of a thinking man's picture.
What country are you from? What ain't no country I ever heard of?
Josh is out of his mind.
And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
That was a troll.
Mellow mushroom.
Nom, 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 nom. What a busy week it's been. I forgot about all the Calipari stuff and Mike DeCourcy's laugh filling up the room at the Greensboro Coliseum.
Well, it's been a couple weeks since we've been in the club, so people are anxious to get in.
That's right.
It's busy.
The door, long line outside the door. Only... we're not letting everybody in. You know? Nerds. We're keeping them out. Waiting near the red velvet. Got a big bouncer outside the door. Okay, what do we got? What's the first thing?
Since it's been a couple weeks since we've done this, why not try and sum up the reason for that? The ACC tournament, the NCAA first and second rounds, and just everything at the Greensboro Coliseum.
In five words?
The best you can.
Greensboro is really tournament town. Not a joke. That's an expression that people say. Oh yeah, you just call yourself tournament town. That's cute. No. Tournament town is you don't have any local teams at the NCAA tournament, yet 17,000 people show up to watch Kansas State play Kentucky. That's title. That is tournament town. That's what it's about. And the workers there who have worked dozens upon dozens of these types of tournaments, the type of accommodations you get, the type of hospitality you get is unlike other places, and the building itself, the Coliseum, it's a building that was literally built for watching basketball, and you still feel that every single time you walk in it.
The Carolina Panthers entourage going to C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis today, Anthony Richardson next week, Pro Week.
Stroud should be the guy. And it's not based really on Pro Day Week. That's been a spectacle. It's been a show. But Stroud just seems like the perfect Frank Reich quarterback. He brought Frank Reich in. Find a guy that Frank Reich, you know, that generally would have success in Frank Reich's offenses. Every quarterback he's coached, all of them pretty much, are 6'4 or taller. Are you really going to bring in the 5'10 guy who's a buck 85 to be his quarterback when you could pick up the 6'3 quarterback with a howitzer from Ohio State? Frank Reich is strong in his faith. So is C.J. Stroud. They both let that be known publicly. I just think there's a lot of alignment there, and there's a lot less risk with Stroud, which is good for a team that gave up so much to get to the number one pick. So he should be the guy.
Dabo's shot at Winston-Salem.
Dabo clearly lacks self-awareness for two reasons. Number one, you're going to take a shot at saying, hey, we only get to go to places like Winston-Salem. We want to go play in Ireland or in Hawaii. You chose the wrong city. Why not just take a shot at your rival, which is right down the road in Columbia? That would have played better than making fun of Winston-Salem when you live in Clemson.
That was a troll.
13 times the size of Clemson, South Carolina. Like, we were talking to Terrence Oglesby. He's a Clemson guy. Do you know where he lives? Not Clemson. Listen, Greenville, South Carolina. That's where everybody lives. That's where everybody stays who goes to Clemson. No one lives in Clemson, really, because Clemson is not a great place. If not for the university, there'd be no reason to go there. Winston-Salem, there are some things to actually do in Winston-Salem. So that's the first reason why it lacked self-awareness. The second reason, you're really going to complain about what the basketball team gets when you're the football coach at Clemson? Like, the running joke is that no one supports or cares about Clemson basketball relative to Clemson football there. And you're going to go out publicly saying, Brad Brownell gets to take his players to Hawaii. Why do I get to do that? Hawaii has a team. Schedule a home and home, Dabo. You won't. Make it happen. Come on.
I guess I couldn't talk about Pro Day without bringing up Cam Newton's Pro Day.
It's the end for Cam. I hate to say that because I love Cam Newton. I love watching him play. I loved how much of a showman he was. He certainly was a gift for this radio show. There's no doubt about that. And this is just a sad, desperate move. I'm going to go throw at Auburn's Pro Day so I could get NFL scouts looking at me again. It's not good. And the Instagram video wasn't much better. He said, there aren't 32 quarterbacks better than me. Yeah, you're right. There are probably 40. There are probably 50 quarterbacks that are better than you right now. Because you don't have the thing that makes you great anymore. The physical part of your game. That was made clear with Cam's second tour of duty with Matt Rhule at the end of the 21 season.
And lastly,
Armando.
And now RJ Davis staying with the Tar Heels.
That is really significant news. It is. And it more than offsets the other transfers. This is something I want to talk with BDOT about. This idea, the Tar Heels, oh man, they're losing all these guys. They're losing Tyler Nickel. They're losing Puff Johnson. They're losing Dontrez Styles. Hubert doesn't think these guys are any good. So why should we? Oh, Josh, that's not being fair. Really? When three of the four guys didn't play more than 10 minutes a game, why should I care whether or not they're in Chapel Hill or not? You know? Hubert now has roster spots to potentially find dudes that could play 20 minutes a game in the portal. Like Armando. Like
Armando.
RJ Davis. So, I think it's really good news. And anybody who is suggesting that Hubert has lost control of his program or whatever with some of the guys transferring out, I think that's far from the truth. I really do. Let's get one more dance break.
Oh, man, I shot Marvin in the face.
This game is over.
Hamburger, cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Deal that out!
Chill out, honey.
Chill out,
honey. Chill out, honey, buddy.
All right, now tell her it's going to be all right.
It's going to be all right.
Promise her.
I promise.
Tell her to chill.
Just chill out, honey, buddy.
It's getting hot in here.
Chill, honey, bunny.
Oh, that was so fun to put together.
Hey, Triad, this is Rich Eisen. Catch me this evening at 6 for The Rich Eisen Show. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
There's a lot going on around here. B-Dot's in studio, six man of the Tar Heels. Just met Willow the dog.
Did just meet Willow.
She's a great puppy.
Yeah, she's like a s'more. She's like a four-legged s'more.
She's like a little snowball.
Yeah.
We've got grammar school in about 15 minutes. WD watched Pulp Fiction for the first time this week. We need to figure out what movie he's going to watch next week. Mm. And to make it pretty easy for us, WD has a poster. Show off your poster to those watching on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, where after each movie you watch, you get to scratch something off and a picture emerges. Mm. WD, when we started this, you had about 10 scratched off. How many do you have scratched off now?
31.
Out of 100, he's got 31.
That's all right.
We're doing a service for WD. So that top row, how does it read the movies that you've already seen now?
The top row, I've seen Shawshank Redemption. Mm. I've seen The Godfather. Mm. I've seen The Dark Knight. Watched Pulp Fiction the other night. The Lord of the Rings I've seen. And I've seen Forrest Gump.
Pretty good. Now, give me a list of movies that are on this poster that you have not seen to give B-Dot some options of movies that you definitely probably should watch.
We need to get to Jaws. Gladiator.
You haven't seen Gladiator?
I haven't seen Gladiator, Dot.
Mm. Have you seen Gladiator?
Yeah.
Are you not entertained?
Nah, that's one of the ones. That's my type of movie, though. Those medieval type time periods.
Oh, yeah. Game of Thrones, favorite. Man.
Yeah. That type vibe.
What else?
Big Lebowski. We've been talking about that one for a while.
I have never seen that.
That's like the white person's Friday.
Really?
That's right.
Really?
It is. Every white person I know loves The Big Lebowski. Every black person I know has never seen Big Lebowski.
I am so interested.
It's a great movie. It's a really good comedy.
We've also got Fight Club that we need to get to.
Amazing.
I like that description. I hadn't thought of that before. It was off the cuff. The more I think about it, it is the white person's Friday.
Mm-hmm. No Country for Old Men.
Never seen that.
Never even heard of it.
Outstanding movie.
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
It was the two best movies in 2007, which is probably one of the best movie years of the last 20 years. This one, Best Picture over There Will Be Blood. It was shot in the same town at some points.
Oh.
So some days they had to stop shooting because of something else that was happening in the town. And those were the two best movies that year.
Inception.
I've seen Inception. Don't remember Inception. Remember Inception being good.
Okay, I think you have enough to choose between. What does he need to see out of those? Jaws, Gladiator.
It's got to be between Gladiator or Fight Club for me.
Gladiator or Fight Club. What do you know about these movies?
I don't know anything about them.
Do you know who's in any of these movies?
Is Mel Gibson in Gladiator?
No, that's Braveheart.
Have you seen Braveheart?
No.
I told you, you need to watch Braveheart.
I think that's on here too somewhere.
You definitely need to watch Braveheart.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorites. It's like that's on my Mount Rushmore.
What's more culturally relevant? Gladiator or Fight Club? What do you hear more references
from? Fight Club.
Fight Club.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Like it was an underground Fight Club, Josh Graham. It was unreal. Or was it?
Fight Club it is.
There you go.
There's your movie for next week.
Yeah.
Fight Club. We figured it out. Now let's get to North Carolina and to college basketball right now. Sweet 16 action later on tonight on WSJS. Last night, Tennessee lost. Rick Barnes has been to 27 NCAA tournaments, and once out of those 27 tournaments has he outperformed his seed. Has it been as far as the Elite Eight, or has it been to an Elite Eight in 15 years? Has been to one Final Four, and it was 20 years ago. Do you know why Tar Heel fans don't like Rick Barnes?
Mm-mm.
That would be a fun Google. Going back to him and Dean Smith shouting at each other on the bench.
Oh, I think
a couple
I remember.
Of decades ago.
Was that in the Smith Center?
Yeah, at Clemson.
It was at Clemson?
Oh, no. He was coaching Clemson.
Oh, yeah. I think they told me about it like in passing one day on social media, on Twitter.
That's a fun one to learn about. Mm. Getting to the Tar Heels, though. The pessimism rooted from players who decided to enter the portal, I thought was premature. I thought it was actually kind of funny. With respect to Justin McCoy, Puff Johnson, Tyler Nichol, and who am I forgetting? Dontrez Styles. With respect to those guys, Hubert didn't think any of those guys were game-changing players. None of the four. And here's how I know that. They didn't average 20 minutes a game. Puff was the only one that averaged double digits a game. I made this point yesterday. Folks used to get mad at Roy for playing rotations that were too wide. Why are we giving Luke May these types of minutes? This guy can't play. Only to get burned when Luke May hits the shot in Memphis, and it turns out Roy knew what he was doing. Now it's the exact opposite, and many of those same people that were complaining about rotations being too wide are now complaining about not enough players are playing, and they're saying, oh, well, he's lost control. These guys are transferring out. Oh, my goodness. I'm like, well, Hubert's told you how he felt about these players. It's not hard to figure out who he thinks is a dude. He'd play him. And now he has roster spots. Unlike last year, he had to wait for Kerwin to go into the portal in order to try and find somebody. And he might have lost out on the potential to get some players that would have been better than Pete Nance if he had the ability to do so. He now has the opportunity, with those roster spots vacated by players who weren't playing anyway, to find guys who might be game-changing players. That was my reaction to what North Carolina's done.
The fans were just emotional. We came off a season where we didn't make the tournament, Josh, and then you got guys leaving. This is new. Like, why would you ever want to leave Carolina is the thought process from the average Carolina Tar Heel fan. And players like Puff, like, you've been in the Smith Center when Puff checks into a game. Just him walking to the scorer's table sends the crowd into eruption.
Because of his name.
He's a fan favorite.
His hair, his brother.
All of that. But the fact of the matter is he's a fan favorite.
Sure.
When you think about Dontrez, you think about the things that you were told about him before he got here. It's almost like Seventh Woods. All the accolades that he had built up about his athleticism before he got here, and still not to be able to see any of that, it's like, dang. When you talk about the Carolina family, we think the family's supposed to be there and forever. Like, you are Tar Heel through and through. You graduate or you go into the league. You don't transfer and go to another team.
But the reason why, you ask, why would you ever leave Carolina? Well, the same reason why kids transferred in 1985. Because they want to play more.
Right.
That's not changed. People are saying, oh, the portal's changed everything. That, what we're seeing with Carolina, that's not different.
But
it's not.
But the portal has changed things in the idea, Josh, that if the thing that they should change in the portal, somebody said it on Twitter, and I really agree with it, that when you transfer, you have to sit out a year.
Now you don't.
Now you don't. So that makes you just so, I'm not even going to stick out my situation here. I'm just going to go.
But the motivation's the same.
The motivation is the same. But the reality is, if they had to sit out a year, it wouldn't be as many people jumping into the portal because they would just stay in their situation and make their situation work, which is usually what they should do anyway.
If Hubert Davis, I know you want Caleb Love to return.
I do. If this is my stance. If Caleb Love plays college basketball next year, I want him to be a Tar Heel.
And I think he's going to play college basketball.
Right.
So let's say Hubert Davis disagrees with that. Let's say Hubert Davis wants Caleb Love to leave.
Right.
Do you think he's capable of having that conversation with Caleb? Because that's a tough one where you're like, can he tell Caleb, listen, it's best for you, it's best for me that we go in a different direction, if that is in fact the way Hubert feels?
I'm not sure. I couldn't speak that to that point of Hubert. I really don't know.
I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because Hubert is this guy who just seems like, I'm going to believe in you no matter what and all these things. And if Caleb wants to return, I think he would let him return.
Agreed. And
but
I think
it's best for Carolina that he goes, and I don't know if Hubert's capable of having that uncomfortable conversation.
I don't know if it's best for Carolina if he goes. Like, everybody is harping on this last season. Caleb has had three seasons. Last season was a forgettable season for Caleb Love. I think he would say that.
I didn't think he was great all 3 years.
But the 2 years before that, he was fine. Like, the 2 years before that, the first year he swept Duke. Remember, if you look at the Savage in the face, that was the first year. The second year, he is the biggest shot in the rivalry. He's fine. The third year was a slouch year. Like, I think that this has been the first year where he's really had this much that chip on his shoulder. And if he was to come back for a senior year, 4 years, I think it would be a different type of Caleb Love, an aggressive Caleb Love that would be beneficial for this program. I think Coach HD is a part of that Carolina family. And, of course, Armando, you said he doesn't even want Armando in that spot.
No, he does want him in that spot.
But I'm not saying he doesn't want him in that spot, but, like, to your point, he wants a shooting big, and that's right. Not Armando. So he's sort of grandfathered in at this time. If he wouldn't tell Armando's best for you to leave, he wouldn't do that. No. I don't think.
No. It'll be interesting. We'll learn something in the next week. We're going to take – BDOT's going to take me to grammar school next on The Drive.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
Do I need to break it down one time?
Yep.
As I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I take a look at my life
and realize there's nothing left.
I'm not going to do this.
Oh, my gosh. You remember what I was talking to in this dance?
This song. WD knows
the movie
what
was good
can
too.
Improve the mood in the building.
Yeah.
Improve morale. And when it's One More Time by Daft Punk.
Oh, yeah. That was yesterday. Got him fired up.
This song and Rocky Top. That'll do the trick. B-Dot's in studio. Dot, you could see him at the Greensboro Swarm games as they close things out this weekend. Big time.
Big time, man. Been a full season. We sucked it up, boy.
Tough year for the Hornets and the Swarm, but building for greater things ahead. There are only 8 games left for the Hornets this year. They're pretty much locked into the 4th worst record in the NBA, which means they'll have a 12.5% chance at getting the number 1 pick, which is a 1.5% chance, 1.5% chance fewer than what the bottom 3 teams get. So they
you're
right there.
And there's a chance.
Oh, I know. They have a really good chance versus they have almost just as much of a chance as anybody at getting the number 1 pick at the top.
Come on, number 1 pick. That'd be awesome.
Or Scoot Henderson.
The Hornets have the number 1 pick and the Panthers. That'd be kind of a big deal, wouldn't it, Josh Graham? Has that ever happened?
Charlotte.
Speak that into existence.
I just did, brother.
Now let's go to grammar school.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking. And just when you think it can't get any worse, rah, 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 Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm
going to
put one in the air.
It's time for B-Dot's Grammar School.
Nobody better than B-Dot. Pre-game, during game, post-game.
Brought to you by Heritage Hardwood Floors. When it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling.
Damn right they don't. Heritage Hardwood Floors has been providing superior craftsmanship, Josh Graham, to homeowners, businesses, and educational institutions since 2005. Did you know that?
I did not.
How about this? Did you know that they can help you choose and install a wide range of quality flooring options like hardwood, luxury vinyl, and waterproof laminate?
See, given all that you've said about them in the last few months, I figured they did that.
Did you know that they also offer expert hardwood floor refinishing to bring your hardwood floors back to life if you scuffed them up and stuff like that?
That's pretty dope.
And they do it with high-end customer service and personal touch that you, Josh Graham, and others deserve. They stand behind the products they sell. And their craftsmanship, Josh Graham, is guaranteed. They got employees over there, too. I don't know if y'all know that. If anybody's looking for a job, these employees over there, though, they've been over there for 60 years of combined experience installing and refinishing a wide variety of hardwood floors. I'm talking about Heritage Hardwood Floors!
I got my caucastic question for you.
Let's go.
If you're ready to go, we'll fire this thing off. As I mentioned, WD watched Pulp Fiction for the first time this week. He's going to watch Fight Club over the next week, which he hasn't seen before. John Travolta had a great performance in Pulp Fiction. Can you name one of John Travolta's characters?
In Pulp Fiction?
In any movie that he's ever done, can you give me the name of a John Travolta character?
Give me a second. Because one of my favorite movies...
Let's talk us out. We want to talk movies real quick?
Yeah, one of my favorite movies.
What movies do you know that he's in?
Of course, Face Off.
Face Off.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
That's what we got to.
Yeah, with him and Nicolas Cage, right? Yeah. But I know that he was an officer... Because he went in and tried to fake like he was Nicolas Cage, and then he got trapped. But what was he was Sean, Officer Sean something. Sean.
Wow.
Come on, Doc. Sean.
Ooh. Archer.
Sean Archer. It was Archer.
I'll give you credit for Sean.
Will you?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, Sean Archer,
I didn't
Archer,
think you'd go to Face Off. I thought you might go to Danny Zuko and Grease. Or.
No, I've never seen Grease.
Or... Trying to think what else. Saturday Night Fever, maybe?
Nope, never. Face Off is amazing. All right, here we go, Josh Graham. Today, Josh Graham, we're going to teach you some stuff, okay?
Great.
You aren't using stuff in sort of sentences and things of that nature, but you're sort of learning. Today is my daughter's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, Ryan turns 11 today.
Ryan's 11?
Yeah.
And you have a 16-year-old now?
Absolutely. He'll be 17 this year.
Dang, yeah. 16.
I'm getting a little
long
in the tooth. So we're going to be back to birthdays in a second, but before we get there, have you seen on Twitter they're trying to make you buy a blue check?
Yes.
I saw that. So I put these letters down. Put these letters, Josh Graham.
Okay.
IWIWPFABC. IWIWPFABC. What does that mean? None of those are curse words.
I won't in... You didn't help him with this one, did you, WD?
No, I did not.
You have any idea what this stands for?
I'm not sure yet.
IWIWPFABC.
Mm-hmm.
This is almost like a Wi-Fi password.
Almost, a little bit.
336-777-1600.
I thought about this because when I put it on Twitter, there were certain people that was like, I knew exactly what that was. And then there were other people actually in group chat saying, I can't get it. Tell it to me. And then... Those people were, more times than not, of the Caucastic persuasion. And it was very funny to me. So I said, I'm going to use that on grammar school today. Again, we're talking about the blue checks on Twitter. They're trying to make people pay for a blue check on Twitter. I put IWIWPFABC.
I will in pay for a blue check mark.
I know what it is.
I know, but I'm trying to figure it out. WD, help me finish that. What's the first four? I got pay for a blue check mark. What do you think the first four letters are?
I wish I would.
I wish I would pay for a blue check mark.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We figured it out.
That is correct.
We figured it out. We solved the puzzle.
All right. It is my daughter's birthday.
Okay.
Josh, to get this next point, all you have to do is when I sing happy birthday, you have to finish it out singing the black version. You got
oh,
it?
Here we go.
Happy birthday to... Cut the music, please, WD. Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
No. Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Shut up. Happy birthday, dear Ryan. Happy birthday to you. And then the black folk jump in and say...
How old are you now?
No.
How old are you now?
No.
See, that sounds Caucastic.
That's very Caucastic. Very Caucastic.
Still do
That's
that.
Like what goes on in the back room at Golden Corral when they have the get together.
Second Golden Corral reference for you this week.
Is that where you want to go?
He said
no.
That.
That's where I used to go growing up.
The Panthers having 12 or 14 people at all these meetings. How are they sitting at the table? He thought it'd be like one of those circular Golden Corral tables.
Yeah,
it was fresh in my mind. So yeah. That's what I thought.
They had some good
CJ
yeast
Stroud
rolls back in the day.
That's probably where they took Will Levis last night.
How,
the Golden Corral.
How do we turn up on the birthday song at the end of that? Happy birthday to you. 336-777-1600. If you would like to call up, if you're listening and you immediately went into it and started clapping and everything, if you would like to help Josh Graham out and be a lifeline for him today, 336 is the area code, 777-1600.
Go, Ryan. Go, Ryan.
Just end it. Just is that your final answer?
That's yeah. Just give me an X.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. All right. Now for your final point, Josh Graham.
Oh no.
For your final point, do you know who sings this song? First of all.
No.
You have no clue who sings this song.
I don't think
I could have done that for you. I'm gonna let you hear the voice first. Hear his voice. Listen. You know who that is? No clue who that is. Wow.
Is that Lionel Richie?
No, it's Stevie Wonder.
Jeez.
I get them confused, by the way.
Clearly. All right. Now, Stevie Wonder made this birthday song for what activist in the 60s? What activist would he make this song for in the 60s? Stevie Wonder made this song for a very, very, very prominent activist. I told you we're going to learn something today. Who was that activist?
Activist?
Yep, activist. He was an activist. He was a preacher.
Martin Luther King.
There you go.
Yeah.
Look at that.
There you go, brother.
That's
man.
That's a passing grade,
that
I think.
That is a passing grade. You got two out of three correct, man. Stevie Wonder made this birthday song, and we sing it all the time. He made that for Dr. Martin Luther King when we started celebrating his birthday as a federal holiday.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I learned something.
Dot? Happy birthday, Ryan.
Thanks so much for being here, and happy birthday to Ryan.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
Before we get to picking the games on this Rhinestone Cowboy Friday, NCAA tournament picks went 2-2 last night. A quick word for the haters. There are some out there that just hate college sports. They don't think it should exist. Even folks in the media, you can tell who they are. Oh, I don't watch college basketball. Even in March, I might watch sometimes, but the product isn't so good, is what you will hear. The product, it is inferior to what we see in the NBA. For all the negativity that's out there, nothing touches March Madness. And yesterday was just evidence of that again, where you have this perception about the product, and then here's K-State and Michigan State hitting 50% of their threes across an entire game. And Marquise Noel, the players aren't as good as they were back in my day. Okay, how many guys have dropped 19 assists in an NCAA tournament game? Nobody. You know, guys stuck around for 4 years. Marquise Noel's been there. I think this is his third season at K-State. He's an older player, you know. Fantastic game that went to overtime. Gonzaga and UCLA. Guys don't stick around. Drew Timmy has. Yami Jaquez Jr. has. You talk about Tiger Campbell. He has. What a finish that was last night. You have upsets. Always delivers. Every single year. They say there aren't stars in college basketball. Drew Timmy had 36 last night. Noel, 20 points and 19 assists. It's amazing. These guys are stars now, and the ratings, they are still soaring. CBS and Turner announced last weekend that their first and second rounds, highest ratings ever for first and second round games. And this is why I always laugh at the idea of, oh, college basketball has to worry about G League Ignite. They have to worry about whatever, the overtime elite league. With respect to the Greensboro Swarm, who finished their season tonight and tomorrow, they've had a rough year because the Hornets, frankly, have had a tough year. I don't think anybody ever is going to say, you know what, the Greensboro Swarm, I need to make sure to watch them over watching a big college basketball program. I'm sorry, the history, the pedigree, it's not there. Oh, these great players, they're going to decide to play in the G League. Let them. And let them ride a bus in Rio Grande. Have fun with that. and watch them play in buildings that are half full. College basketball is playing at MSG, and they're putting on a show. And Noel is a massive star. And these ratings, they're going through the roof. College basketball is still a great sport. It's still in a great place. So I'm tired of hearing about, oh, back in the day when the transfer portal wasn't a thing. Back in the day when Ralph was going up against Michael and Lynn. It's still good now. Find me a game in the 80s that was as great or as significant as Duke and North Carolina in the Final Four last year. I'll wait. It's not always better when you go into the past. With that in mind, let's pick some games for tonight, tomorrow, and on Sunday. And we start with the Sweet 16 games that you can listen to right here on WSJS. Starting in less than 1 hour, San Diego State faces Alabama. And how about this, WD? I'm going with the Aztecs. Give me the Aztecs to upset Alabama. The Tide has not played a team that can push them physically yet in this tournament. San Diego State can do that. That is their calling card. Remember, Bama was held to under 60 points by Tennessee when they played each other in February. They haven't played a team that could shut people down like that. San Diego State can. Plus, I think last night taught us how overrated the SEC is. Arkansas got rolled by UConn, and Tennessee, the aforementioned Vols, lost to Florida Atlantic in a Sweet 16 game. Bama goes down. Pow! Second game, Houston and Miami. I get labeled as being an ACC homer, but even I can't pick the Miami Hurricanes to beat Houston tonight. No sirree. The ACC's run ends in the Sweet 16. The Canes, they are a good shooting team, but they are a finesse team. And Houston is not. They've got adults. They play an incredibly bruising brand of basketball. It's a bad matchup. And for the first time this tournament, they are fully healthy, according to Kelvin Sampson. I think that is bad news for the Hurricanes and Jim Larrañaga. Nightcap, Creighton. All these games are at night, but this is the one that's supposed to start at 9 o'clock. Creighton, Princeton should be the game of the night because Princeton's not a fluke. This is a seeding error. Princeton should not have been a 15 seed. They dictated how that game against Arizona was played. And they did the same thing against Mizzou. And last I checked, Arizona's higher ranked than Creighton is. I think Princeton can win this basketball game, but I think the Blue Jays figure things out at the end. The Big East has all sorts of teams that play all sorts of different styles. I think that's going to be an advantage for the Blue Jays. I think they hold on in a great 15-6 game. Who would have thought in the Sweet 16 we'd be talking about Princeton versus Creighton being an awesome tournament game? I think that's what we get. I really do. Out in Louisville. And the last game on tonight's slate is Texas and Xavier. This is a coin flip. It could go either way. I hate to pick one of these two sides, but I gotta. Texas, they are the more talented team. They're without Chris Beard. This interim coach, I like the shades that he wears or the glasses that he wears during games. Seems to have a good personality. That's a guy you need to remove the interim tag off of, considering where they're at, especially if they win this game. I wasn't all that impressed with watching Xavier in Greensboro. They advanced through, but they did so by narrow margins and many points. I like Texas to get past Xavier. Tomorrow, in the Elite Eight, K-State is facing Florida Atlantic. Can the ride continue for CUSA and the Owls? No. The Purple Wildcats from Manhattan, Kansas, in Manhattan, the Big Apple, New York, advanced to their first Final Four since 1964, which is crazy because only Blue Bloods have gone to more Elite Eights than K-State has historically. Like, K-State has gotten to this point a number of times. Four Elite Eights in the last 35 years. Since the tournament expanded, they've had a lot of success, but haven't been able to punch through that final door. I think they do that with this lovable team that reminds me a lot of UConn teams we've seen in the past decade and change. Kemba Walker, Shabazz Napier winning titles. Speaking of UConn, I'm done picking against the Huskies. I did it yesterday, egg on face, UConn won in a rout. They've blown out every team that they've played so far in this tournament. I don't know if they blow out Gonzaga, but we're talking about Gonzaga in the tournament. I felt nervous picking them last night, and they made me nervous, even though they were up 10 with 2.5 left to go. We're going with the Huskies. We're going with the Big East advancing to the Final Four. UConn getting by Gonzaga. Last two games for us to pick. Creighton facing San Diego State, as we all thought, in the Elite Eight. And Houston meeting Texas in an all Lone Star State matchup to try and get to Houston. Starting with Creighton, San Diego State. I think the Blue Jays have just a little bit more offense. Both teams like to play inside out, but the Blue Jays have just a little bit more offense to get by. We saw it against the Wolfpack that they're really difficult to handle when they catch the ball near the basket. I think they're going to be able to do that in a way that Alabama will struggle with tonight. Two Big East teams going to get to the Final Four this year. It's been a big year for the Big East. The Blue Jays, they're going to continue dancing. And then Houston will beat Texas to get to their hometown hosting the Final Four. What a story that is. People talked about it all year. Can Houston host a Final Four and have the Cougars there? Jim Nantz is a Houston alum following the Cougars and his final ride through March. He's going to be calling his alma mater in his final four? Of course he's going to. That's what we've got. My final four predictions updated looking to the weekend. Out of the top left region, Creighton in the Big East. Top right region, Houston. Bottom left region, Kansas State. And in the bottom right, UConn. Off the top of my head, that is a 1 seed, a 6 seed, a 4 seed, and a 3 seed advancing to Houston.